Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host, and hopefully in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to J.D. Glasscock. He's a filmmaker right now. He's making some waves in the filmmaking business. He has a very interesting career. He started as a slam poet and all the way straight through to a musician, and now he's doing these very beautiful short pieces right now. It'll be interesting to talk to him a little bit about his career coming up shortly. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. We're jam-packed, and we're going to be pretty much jam-packed for that throughout the next month or so. We've got a lot of stuff going on, including a lot of guests. So we're going to be having some live Thursday shows from now on, and we'll do some throwback Thursday shows probably some, you know, within that time if for some reason we do not have guests on Thursday. But we're pretty much booked for the next month or so. So it'll be interesting to say the least in terms of that as well. And I've been kind of neglecting VegasPodcasting.com for a little bit, just getting some of that stuff updated over there. But I will do so, at least I'll try to do so either tonight or tomorrow, because we've got a lot of stuff going on. We said we were kind of booked for the next couple weeks as well. It's been a really quite a wild ride coming up in the past couple weeks, so interesting to say the least. Without further ado, let me introduce you to a guy that's really making some waves in the filmmaking industry right now. He's got, like I said, several short films currently out right now. J.D. Glasscock is on with us right now. How you doing, J.D.?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good. Obviously, you've been a little bit busy. You've been filming another short, as it were. How's everything going with you?
It's good. Yeah, my sixth short. We got the first day in the can. There's one more day to shoot in a bar, which we're going to be doing in about, I don't know, two and a half weeks.
Yeah,
so
now,
it's good.
It's interesting. Yeah. I was going to say, it's pretty interesting to see that you've been using, there's been a lot of talk about you using the ability to use light in a lot of your films and shadow as well. You know, how is it for you to kind of use your films as kind of a canvas and to be able to use and experiment with light so much?
Yeah, noir lighting, yeah, where you light the subject from one side so that you have shadows on one side, light on the other, and then you can kind of play with which side do you shoot, whether you want to shoot more of the light side or you want to shoot the shadow side or you want to mix it up. It gives you a lot of choices, and to me, just shadows make everything more poignant, beautiful, more emotional, intense. So I've always had a love of noir lighting. And I studied lighting and directing for about 8 years before I shot my first thing, because I've always had the belief of if you're going to do something, do it to open doors and blow minds. Otherwise, don't do it, you know?
Yeah. Now, the actors obviously have to be cognizant of the fact that that they have to have a good side, basically, a lot of times when they're shooting, and you're shooting that way because obviously you're kind of accessing one side or the other. I mean, how's it for the actors to kind of work in this style?
I think the women love it because they've seen my past work, and the biggest response I always get from actresses is of them wanting to work with me is not only my writing ability, but they're always like, you always make all the actresses look so beautiful. And so, you know, with ladies, that's an important thing. So a lot of actresses actually like, I can't shoot enough films to include all the actors and actresses that want to work with me. And they get mad, but I'm like, you guys, I know hundreds of talented actors. I'm a filmmaker, and I shoot these things on really small to almost no budgets, and so all my stuff has one, two, maybe three actors. I'm like, I can't shoot enough things to allow all of you to be in them, so, you know, I do my best.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting to say the least. I mean, you know, back in the day when they did headshots, I mean, they would use a lot of noir lighting, and it was so glamorous back then to see some of those headshots versus what we have today, which I think
so overlit.
Yeah, exactly. It's overlit and all that as well. They kind of missed that nostalgia of the kind of the glamorous look, as it were, too. So.
Well, it's become TV land. TV land does that. TV overlights everything, and over, puts way too much makeup on everybody, and like this generic standard lighting schematic that has become the thing in TV. So a lot of, especially a lot of young filmmakers that can't understand lighting. So a lot of indie filmmakers aren't even paying attention to lighting. Their whole focus is on trying to be cool with shots trying to write stuff. But to me, your lighting is everything in a film. So it creates your whole mood when you're trying to, like, when I see young directors doing intense dramatic scenes and then yet it's lit like the bright noon sun, I'm like, you just took away half the power of this intense scene you wrote. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to feel this intense dramatic sorrow or whatever it is when everything's lit like the bright noon sun. Where if they had made it like a night scene and made it like darker, it would have brought the audience in more, and it would, the emotions of it would have been more impactful.
Yeah, I mean, it's more realistic too, because, you know, if you're out, you know, at night, you're not lit as big as you are like in some of these films. It's just like, you know, it seems like there's lights everywhere, and, you know, it does kind of take away from the reality of what the situation is. So yeah, I think lighting is very important in terms of, you know, giving you into that experience as well. So it'll be interesting to see where lighting goes from now on. Maybe some people will catch the idea. Maybe lighting needs to be toned down a bit and made a little bit more creative and more realistic versus what's going on too. So hopefully that ends up happening as a trend sometime soon.
And that's another thing I try to teach young directors is anything that takes your audience out of the world you're trying to create has just now destroyed your film. So I always say, shoot within your budget. I see all these people trying to shoot like action films when they have no budget. So they end up, you know, using these really cheesy effects for shooting or really bad fight sequences because they can't afford stunt people. I'm like, you know, it's better to shoot something within your budget and make it real and keep people immersed in the world you're creating, rather than trying to go above and beyond. I mean, I'd love to shoot my features, but I don't have the money to do that. And action's too expensive for my budget. So hence why I shoot what I shoot. You know, I mean, most of my features are action. But you got to shoot within your budget and keep people immersed in the world. Like I saw this guy's short, and it was brilliant, brilliantly done short, but they have this guy beat up, and then in the next scene, he has no bruises. No blood, no nothing. I'm like, oh, and it's like, timeline-wise, it's like subsequent. And I'm like going, you just took me out of your whole film, man. It was great writing and stuff like that, but you just took me out of your whole film. You know, this guy should be bloody and bruised. And
yeah, there's got to be a realism to that as well. I mean, it's you know, sometimes people shoot out a sequence, and you got to realize that there's got to be a continuity there. You know, sometimes, you know, in a situation where that ends up happening, where he's got beat up and then doesn't have any bruising, well, you know, it's better to have shot, you know, the fight scene and then go into that portion of it as well. It's something that you have to go kind of in your production book and kind of realize that certain scenes have to go in certain orders, even if it means that it's going to be a little bit more.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a short. It was only 15 minutes long. If you can't remember that this scene goes after the one that he just got beat up in, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? I understand maybe when it's a hour and a half feature. But I just think, you know, a lot of times people don't get into detail. And then at the same time, I think a lot of people in today's world, and I find this as I meet a lot of actors, is everybody with a pen or a laptop and a camera thinks that makes them a writer and a director. It's a skill set. Like if I handed someone a guitar and they never played a guitar, they would not pick up a guitar and go around and start calling themselves a guitarist. Yet at the same time, anyone that gets a camera and has a laptop with a Word file, all of a sudden they're a writer and director. And to me, it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like playing a guitar, being able to call yourself a guitarist or director or writer, they're all skill sets that take years to learn. And yet a lot of these people, like every actor I meet, they call themselves an actor, director, writer. And when I see their stuff, it's like beginning 101. I'm like, dude, like quit. you know, I'm from that old school where you earn titles, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's great to say. I mean, I come from the MMA world, and you can't call yourself an MMA fighter if you haven't had a fight yet. I mean, you could train your butt off as much as you can, but until you execute an actual fight, then you can't really call yourself a filmmaker. Same thing with calling yourself a director or a writer. Until you've produced something that is significant, then you really can't call yourself a director or an actor or whatever. You know,
yeah, but I mean, I know people that have shot stuff and written stuff, but it's horrible because they don't have those skill sets or nor have spent the years to learn those skill sets. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know if just producing something makes you a writer and director, because I have people I know that have 5-6 things they've shot, but, you know, they started writing and started directing with the first thing they did. You know what I mean? So they've had maybe a year of writing and directing under them, and their stuff isn't very good. I mean, I give them big applause for attempting, but I come from that school is actually, like you just talked about, before you step into an MMA fight, you actually learn the skill sets. You spent hopefully a few years garnering those skill sets before you get into a fight. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing as writing, directing. Study writing and directing. Learn those skill sets before you actually, because to me, first impressions are everything. And I try to explain to these young filmmakers, when you're plastering all this stuff and you haven't garnered the skill sets yet, and you're plastering it all over YouTube, the wrong person, Hollywood's a small town, the wrong person could see that. And now in their minds, they have shuffled you into horrible, don't ever pay attention to this person. Where if they had just waited and learn those skill sets, maybe they have some raw talent, and they could have created a product that was brilliant that would have done the opposite. They would have made people go, who the heck is this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, especially right now, because there's so many people that are filmmakers, and they tried to be filmmakers before. They don't even go to school for it. And the thing is that I've went to school for filmmaking. But even if you have, like, 2 years in, I mean, I've seen filmmakers that have taken like two or three years and then dropped out because they felt they have the skill set. They actually have enough tools behind them that they are successful. But there's at least some education there, you know, in terms of what filmmaking 101, what it means to have lighting, what a story concept is, you know, what you need to do in order to make, you know, everything correct.
I don't think school is the only way to learn, but I think learning is essential. I think there's always 1,000 roads to Babylon or Damascus, whatever you want to say. I mean, I'm self-taught in everything I do. I didn't go to school for anything, but at the same time, I've been guest speaker at colleges for creative writing. You know what I mean? So, but I've spent my whole life owning those skill sets. You know what I mean? So, like writing, I started off 25 years ago as a slam poet, and then moved into singer, songwriter, music, and then went from those things to film in like 2006. But I shot my first thing in 2012, at the end of 2012, but I started studying it, like working on every indie film set I could get on in Seattle, and then moving here, and I did that for like 7-8 years before I shot my first thing, you know? So, there's a lot of ways of learning. Sometimes I feel school can actually hurt you in some ways because they teach you all these rules, and the biggest, artists I know in almost any field understand the first rule is, ignore rules, if it works, you know what I mean? So sometimes when they go to school, you get so driven into rules that sometimes you limit yourself with your creativity because you're trying to follow rules that aren't really applicable if you're coming up with something that works.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of that within the last 20 years are jump cuts. You know, I was taught in school that, you know, you want to avoid jump cuts, but that rule's been broken so many times over the past 20 years. There are some rules that need to be that can be broken, as long as it's good enough for the art form. So yeah, I absolutely agree.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it works, that's the whole key. And or like I have people tell me, oh, no one, because I've used some dissolves, And you're like, oh, the people don't do dissolves anymore. I'm like, guys, I don't. Do you think any successful or talented artist, whatever field they're doing, do you think they care about what anyone else is doing? You know what I mean? Like, if it looks beautiful and it works, then that's what I'm going to do. And to me, I like an occasional dissolve, you know, because to me, there's no other thing that works as well for that moment or what I'm trying to do. Or, you know, people are so, and specifically the people that I hear quote rules a lot, when I look at their work, I'm not very impressed. You know what I mean? So it's real artists make their own rules. And as long as it works and it's successful, it doesnn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's about the reasoning versus the rule. I mean, you know, you say, well, why did you do this? Well, I did this because such and such. And versus, you know, you did that because you broke a rule there. Why did you break a rule? It's the reason why you've done something like that. So yeah, there is a kind of a difference on that as well. I mean, like you said, it's a lot of it's what you're talking about is about gaining an experience behind you as well. I mean, what's probably the biggest thing that you've learned as a filmmaker?
I really wish I would actually have a real budget. No, I mean, I think what have I learned as a filmmaker? I mean, it's a lot of work. To be patient. And, you know, short films, you don't make money, but short films are your calling card. Short films and entering festivals and doing that stuff and showing consistency of work and that you can pull off beautiful things with almost no budget. These are the things they're going to impress someone enough to go, okay, hey, look at this guy. He's winning awards in festivals. He has 5, 6, 7, 8 shorts. They're all consistently good, consistently quality with very little budget. These are the things that make people go, you know what, let's give this guy a shot. Let's give this guy money to go shoot a feature, you know? And so to me, it's just patience. I think that's the key. And as I said, waiting till you can shoot, even when you have almost no budget, shooting stories or stuff that you can still make look beautiful within that budget and not going beyond that. I mean, I'm always learning. So it's there's never a time where I'm never going to stop learning. I've been writing for 25 years. I'm still learning. There's never a point or time where I think you've lost yourself as an artist the day you think you can't learn something or new. So I always am constantly striving forward, moving, and being open to also letting other people shine. Let other people in your crew. It's like when I was in a band, I always wrote a space for the drummer to have a solo, for the guitarist to have a solo, for the bass to have a solo in space. You gotta understand, filmmaking is though you can be the captain, the director, the writer, all those things. It's still a team sport. You can't do it by yourself. So you need to let people be good at what they're good at, and shine. I remember the first kind of reference back to what we were talking about before. I remember the first film I directed, Burning Cigarettes, which is the one that won awards at the Action Film Festival. I had to argue with the DP the whole entire shoot because he was a film school kid and constantly kept telling me lighting rules, kept saying, oh, no, you can't do that because that's this rule and you can't do that because that's rule. But I argued with him, fought with him until he did what I wanted him to do. And it was so funny because at the end of the shoot, he's like, wow, that's the best lighting I ever did. And I was like, funny. I mean, you argued with him, but, you know. I think it's always just learning and holding to your vision. For any young artists in there, hold to your vision. Hold, no matter what anyone else is saying, hold to what you envision and see, but at the same time being open to people's you respect's opinions and honesty.
Yeah, we got a caller from Louisiana that's calling in. Let's see what they want. 337, are you there?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to state the obvious. We have a doppelganger in our midst.
What?
As an artist who respects creative integrity and intellectual property. I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
I'm sorry, what?
I think somebody's making a joke. So I hung up on him. I don't know what that was all about.
Okay, copied my husband. I don't even know what she's talking about.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay.
It
was no even reference to it. Like, she wasn't even, like, referring to specifics. She just arbitrarily copied my...
I think somebody... I think somebody was playing audio files for some reason, and, you know, it didn't make any... They were trying to make a joke, but it wasn't a joke, you know? It was like, you know...
Yeah, I don't know. That made no sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, I don't know, man. I think in life, you just have to keep chasing your dreams. I've been chasing these aspirations of art for 25 years, and I've never given up. I've never stopped. I no matter how many times I fell, I kept standing up and kept walking. So that's the biggest thing I can say to young filmmakers is believe in yourself and never give in. The only people that truly don't make it in art are usually the ones that gave up.
Yeah, and, you know, it's important for you to continue learning and obviously get input from other filmmakers as well, especially if they've found some success in there as well. I was at the Sundance Film Festival, and it was interesting to just talk to other filmmakers there about their craft and working their way up through the system as well. I mean, what's your opinion on in terms of festivals? Obviously, you've won a couple of festivals as well, and you know, how is it for you as a filmmaker to be able to take?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think they're essential because a lot of small investors, and I mean small from anywhere from like $500,000 to under $10 million, because those are too small for studios. A lot of those guys go to festivals, at least bigger festivals, to find up-and-coming artists, writer directors, or actors, or any of those things to invest in and actually make money off of before they get snagged up by studios. So I think festivals are good. It's a great route if you do well on them and on a continuous basis in several to find investment for features and to be able to get your foot in the door and all those things. Now, the only thing about festivals, I mean, festivals. Originally 20 years ago were meant for indie artists. They were the vehicle for indie artists, basically visionaries with very little money to have an avenue to get their films seen and get a foot in the door. Nowadays though, especially the bigger festivals are no longer about the indie artists. They are about like A-list actors doing personal projects with $1 million budget. Studios doing major films, but they're just going to festivals because they want to try to work a better distribution deal. You know what I mean? And get buzz going on the stuff. So, I mean, it's changed drastically in the last 20 years. It's no longer, in most cases, in the bigger festivals, it's no longer a celebration of the real, true indie filmmakers. It's more of a vehicle for what I've already mentioned. So, but there's still space. There's still cracks in the wall to slip through for those indie artists, the real guerrilla indie artists. So I think it's a valid and a way for an artist, if they have talent, to get their films out there and to see. They just have to be discerning. There's a lot of festivals out there. They're just money grabs. They aren't going to really do much for them. So they have to be discerning on what festivals they submit to, because that stuff is anywhere from $30 to $80 per submission. So,
okay, we got another caller, and this time she actually called, put me on my chat room, so I actually know who it is.
Go ahead.
Do you not have any value or respect for original?
Okay. Well, so we know.
I don't know what
is,
this girl's talking about. Value for respect for originality. Like, I don't know what she's referencing.
Yeah, exactly. I have no clue either. And I don't know why they kept.
I mean, I write all my own films, and I've been writing for 25 years. I have 13 books up on Lulu.com. So I don't know what she's talking about as far as originality or any of that stuff. So
I have all my stuff I wrote.
So I don't know what she's conversing about, but you know, such is life.
But yeah, but going on to what you were talking about, I mean, I think in terms of the short film, I think it's a lot better. I mean, you know, I don't think a big Hollywood A-lister would put up money to put up a short film. They usually like to go like right into the features. So,
that's actually untrue. There's a lot of actors that do short films. I was laughing because I was working on a TV show on the crew side. And one of the actors in the show was like, oh, look at my short. And I'm looking at it. And he goes, oh, it's going to festivals. It's going to all that stuff. And I said, oh, wow. And I'm looking at the production value. The Tulsa girl is saying it wasn't her that was on the phone. He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't really have a lot of money. I only had like 15 grand. I'm like... 15 grand. Okay. 15 grand is not a lot of money to shoot a 15 minute short. I'm like, holy crap. I shoot my stuff for like $400 or $500 a piece. So yeah, I mean, no, there's actually a lot of actors that do short films that want to show their directing chops, and they obviously have access. They're successful actors, so obviously they have access to money. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think I advocate it. It's a world where shooting has become so easy with digital that everybody wants to take their shot at it, and I advocate that. I just feel like sometimes the true indie artists, the ones that are born on the other side of the track, that are brilliant artists who don't have access to that kind of money. I just want to still make sure that they get those opportunities to showcase their skills and don't get kind of lost, because a lot of these festivals nowadays, they all want this production value that's like way up here, but like a lot of artists don't have $10,000-$20,000 to bring that production value. You know what I mean? They can still make it look nice, but and I don't want to see those people lose their opportunities to actually, because I think you can shoot something for less, and if you're a brilliant writer and a brilliant artist, it still has, you can still see that within it. You know what I mean? And I'd like to make sure that those people still get those opportunities.
Yeah, now I want to mention something about Mark DeBlast, because he was just did a talk at the South by Southwest Film Festival. I noticed what was going on, what he was saying. They posted several different sites posted the article. He talked a lot about, you know, using your that you don't have to have a big huge budget in order to shoot something. And in a cultural world right now, the culture that's kind of groomed right now, and it's something that I actually caught in a lecture over at Sundance, is that there's so much demand for entertainment right now if you keep on doing some films, you know, you should be as much as you possibly can, learning as much as you possibly can now as well, that you don't need a big budget in order to make an impact. Nowadays, I mean, you can, you know, the availability of media on that as well. What's kind of your take on that?
Well, I mean, like to me, I told you, I've won awards with my shorts, and every one of my shorts, I've had $400 or $500 to shoot. So obviously that's not a large budget whatsoever. But you have to be really, really, really creative. You have to be really, really, and know what you're doing. And if you, and in areas where you're, maybe don't know what you're doing, be honest with yourself enough to know that and find people that are skilled in those areas. You know what I mean? So I think all art is a combination of a certain amount, certain level of ego to have confidence, but enough humility to know where you're not skilled and you need help. And so those are the things that, to me, create great artists. And so, yeah, you don't need a large budget. And again, going back to what I said earlier, yes, I think you should keep shooting when you're ready to shoot. I still think you should learn what you're doing before you are actually shooting. I see too many of these artists that throw up all this stuff that's not good. And not only is it not helping them, but it hurts the people that are good, because so many people are inundated with so much that's not good, they become hesitant to look at new stuff because they've already been thrown, all these people have thrown so much bad stuff at them that they're hesitant to go to that link. So not only does it not help themselves when they put out bad product because they haven't learned their skill sets yet, but it makes it harder for people that have done it. So I guess I hope I answered that question.
You did. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to check something here real quick. Just give me 1 minute here. Are you there, Tulsa? Okay, I have a caller here, and this is the guy who said that it wasn't that those one of those previous two calls for her spot. I can't see the call. 678, are you there?
You're a laughing stock.
Okay. Yeah, somebody's playing a freaking prank on me. I'm getting irritated. So I'm probably not going to pick up any more calls. But anyway.
I don't know who that person is, but okay.
Yeah. I don't
but
know.
But you know what? You know what? If you don't
know.
Have haters. If you don't have haters, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you that much. Anyone that's doing anything worth of value is going to create envy and hate from people that don't have the ability or work ethic or desire to be able to do it themselves. So
more importantly, I mean, they're taking time out of their busy day for them to care about you. You know, so that's how I see it. Yeah,
it's a compliment. It's an offhanded compliment, yeah.
Yeah.
But they hate you enough that they're actually expending energy, where the actually opposite of love is indifference. You know what I mean? So, like, if I don't really care for someone, I'm indifferent to them. I don't spend any energy on them. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, exactly,
you're correct.
Yeah.
It's an offhanded compliment that they actually would spend that kind of energy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to some of the stuff that you're shooting. Obviously, you're continuing at this pace. What's kind of up for the future for you? Are you going to be shooting some of these? Are you going to be putting some of these films up in festivals? And what has been going on in terms?
Yeah, I have two that are coming up right now. Burning Cigarettes and Blade and Blood are both in the North Virginia International Film Festival in the middle of April, and then also an online contest from First Glance Films. They've asked for Blade and Blood to be in that. And then I'm almost, like I said, I'm halfway through shooting my sixth, and I'm prepping to shoot my seventh and eighth, which is going to be the one I'm working on now is called Memory Road, and then the seventh one is Bloody Song, and then eighth is The God Among Sheep. So, and then I've already submitted to a lot of festivals, but we're still waiting to hear back. They usually submit months ahead of time, and then they don't actually announce who's accepted until like 3 or 4 weeks beforehand. So I still have probably about 10 festivals that I've submitted work to that we haven't heard back yet. They're not at that point where they're sending out the acceptance letters.
Yeah, well, I mean, fingers crossed on that. You know, maybe at some point within the next year or so, maybe we'll get a compilation DVD from you or the ability to be able to watch this online. So,
Well, all my work is on YouTube, man.
Okay.
All my films are on YouTube, all 5 short films that I have already.
Okay.
Yeah, or my website, stormcrowproductions.com. There's links to my films there, or you can just go to youtube.com/ Jonathan Glasscock, JonathanGlascock, GLASSCOCK, and then all of them are there. Probably the easiest one to remember, though, is stormcrowproductions.com. And then there's links that will take you over to the YouTube. But all 5 of my short films are up there. There's a misnomer because it used to be a lot of festivals wouldn't accept your shorts if they were online. But pretty much, I would say 90-something percent of them in today's age have understood that's it's too hard to do that. To limit filmmakers from being able to showcase their work. So they've gotten rid of that rule. So I would say all of them, except the only one I think is the Toronto Film Festival, maybe. But almost all of them, Sundance, any of those ones, don't care anymore whether your stuff's online.
Oh, cool. Cool to know. And I want to mention you guys can follow JD on Twitter at JD Glasscock. And then I think you're on Facebook as well under your production company, I'm assuming, correct?
Yeah, Stormcrow Film. Stormcrow, like
Film.
/ facebook.com / Stormcrow Film is the my company's Facebook. And then there's ways of contacting me on stormcrowproductions.com. So my email, stuff like that. So and also stormcrowproductions.com has samples of my writing, film, all sorts of stuff. Pretty much everything I do, you can find on that website.
Well, I mean, that's great. And, you know, best of luck coming up with some of these films as well. I mean, it's been great to be able to talk to you about filmmaking as well. I mean, you've obviously got a lot of knowledge behind you, and I look forward to seeing some of the successes. Maybe we'll talk to each other more down the line in terms of it. I think we could have gone for another hour in terms of what we were talking about. So best of luck to you. And
well, and thank you, and I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it so much. I thank you so much for the opportunity, and very beautiful. And I know I'm finding success, dude, because I have a hater now.
Yeah.
That's a good way of monikering yourself.
Exactly. Well, like I said, again, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, man. Have a beautiful day. And I, again, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, JD, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye.
JD Glasscock, everybody, you guys check him out. Yeah, it's kind of weird that we had a person that freaking called. It's weird. And they're kind of calling from different freaking area codes, too. Coming up, let me see here. I am going to pop up my site because we've got a lot of stuff going on in the next month. And I want to make sure I have everything. I let you guys know what's going on the in terms of the upcoming shows. Coming up on Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, we're going to have access on Trevor Sulunha for our scene. I'm hoping I'm sending her name correctly. She's actually one of the stunt drivers in the upcoming Fast 7 movie, but she's also a very talented actress and voice actress as well. She had a really hit film with Myrna the Monster coming up, and I guess she's in Fast 7, so it's going to be really great to be able to talk to her, and she's worked with some really great talent. So we'll have Ms. Fontaine on the show on Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific. And then coming a week from the day, we're going to have Zig Grudes from Liberator Art Brands. We're going to be talking a little bit about his company that is giving art to the masses, both as an investment and as an enjoyability of having owning a piece of art. It's going to be interesting to talk to him. Zig Grudes from Liberator Art Brand coming up a week from today at 1 p.m. Pacific. So it's at VegasPodcasting.com. We'll have the site updated either tonight or tomorrow. Things have been kind of busy on my end. So hopefully we'll have that all taken care of. Make sure you guys check out some of the old interviews as well. And follow us on Twitter at SWIV and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook, so make sure you check it out as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys coming up on Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific with Miss Fontaine, Sulianha Fontaine, I believe that's her name. I'll check that out and make sure I have it right when it comes to Monday. Talk to you guys next week.